Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Siobhan Cunningham from Galway is with us on the line today because, Siobhan, you got in touch. You want to raise awareness about cardiovascular health in women. Just tell us about your diagnosis.
Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Good.
So for me, I was a person that was misdiagnosed. I did present with cardiovascular symptoms, but unfortunately they weren't picked up. And I struggled a lot with that for about a year and a half of being constantly returning to the hospital and being told that there was nothing wrong with my heart and put down to anxiety.
And what kind of symptoms were you presenting with, Siobhan?
So for me, it was shortness of breath. I had, my heart rate was going up to 240 beats per minute, was the highest they had recorded it in the ambulance. I had massive fatigue, breathlessness. I couldn't even walk up my stairs. Massive high heart rates, dizziness, and it was. I presented to A&E, and it would be put down as anxiety. They did agree that I had a high heart rate. My resting heart rate at this stage was 130 beats per minute, and they did put me on beta blockers because of that. But they weren't still convinced that there was anything wrong with my heart, and that's what I found the biggest struggle, because I kept presenting with symptoms, and it wasn't picked up, unfortunately. And it kept going down to, this woman has stress. She's a single mother. Previous to that, I had gone in for surgery for endometriosis and they had perforated my womb. So it was put down to the stress of that. And that's what I found really difficult, that I kept presenting with symptoms and be constantly fobbed off that there's nothing wrong with you. And the hardest battle for me was trying to convince that there was nothing psychologically wrong with me, that it was completely physical. And I think that was the hardest challenge for me going forward. I believed fully that I was so close to being shipped up to psych, because they honestly didn't believe me. And I think that's the biggest message I want to put across to everybody, is that you need to be believed, you need to be listened. I knew my own mind and knew my own body, and I knew there was something wrong with me, because how can you wake up one day and be breathless and not be able to walk up your stairs? And this is how I lived for a long time because of it. So, and I found that really, really hard.
You obviously kept presenting, you know, continued to shout about it. You knew something wasn't right, something was wrong, Siobhan. So when did you get the actual diagnosis?
So for me, at one point, when the last time I was admitted to hospital, I was set in front of six doctors, and it was basically looking like there were psychological issues wrong with me and this was the path they were going down. And I didn't know what to do after this. So a nurse actually approached me afterwards and she said, I'm really sorry, because I was really upset, because I didn't know, where do I go? I can't go home. I can't stay here because they're doing nothing for me. So she got me in contact with Cree. And this is when I got in contact with Annie Costello, and she's a head in patient community engagement. And I cried down the phone to her, and I didn't know where else to go. So she put me on to the nurse, their cardiac nurse. Mm. And I got to speak with her, and that was the only support I had all year long. And then my doctor sent me to a professor in Dublin, and they put a heart monitor on me for a month. And it showed my heart was very much irregular. The highest heartbeat for that was 250 beats per minute. And this is extraordinary. Yeah. Nobody's heart sitting down doing no activity should go that high. And I was glad in a way that it was picked up. I had a tremendous Christmas that year. I kept collapsing. At one point, I was down at my brother's in Cork just to be around people and feel safe. And I was sitting down watching TV. My brother had gone out for a meal with his wife, and my heart just went off. Watching TV, my heart went off, and it was absolutely pounding. And I tried everything I could to get it down. They taught me like a vagus maneuver, where you blow into your thumb as hard as you can to try and get your heart rate down, or blow into a tube. Nothing was working, and I knew I was in trouble. And I didn't really know the address of the thing. And I went out into traffic, and I stopped a passerby, and he pulled down his window, and I said, I need help. I said, I'm going to collapse. And he stopped the car. And by the time he came to me, I'd collapsed on the side of the road.
God.
And I remember thinking at that time, I'm going to die. I'm going to die before somebody listens to me. And that's the reality of it. It's my lived experience. And for me, it's difficult to even talk about.
I know.
A lot of things, I don't go into it because of the fact I was convinced I was going to die from not being listened to. I had to make a will because I'm a single mother.
And when you got in contact with Cree and you felt you were listened to and you were sort of pointed in a different direction, Siobhan, how have things changed for you now?
Massively. Just to be heard and to be listened to and feel safe. I felt very safe with them, and I knew I was going to be looked after. When I was sent then to Cry Ireland, which is another amazing organisation, I got in contact with Elaine Whelan. And again, the first conversation on the phone with her was, I am so afraid I'm going to die before somebody saves me. And it was just the hardest struggle I ever had to face. And I don't think anybody should have to be in that situation. I'm a single parent. I had a little boy who had to phone an ambulance for me and make sure that I was looked after. I had so many things going wrong for me and nobody was listening to me. And until I got to Cry Ireland and they done all the tests, and straight away from my symptoms I was sent for a cardiac MRI, and thankfully it showed that I had scarring of the heart, and this is where I was diagnosed with myocarditis. And then to be told then afterwards that if I had maybe been given an anti-inflammatory medication when I presented first to Galway University Hospital, that maybe I wouldn't have been how I was. I wouldn't have deteriorated, that I ended up in bed for a year and a half. My body got so deconditioned, I ended up being in bed, and that's how I lived. And there was, and at that stage, I had given up because nobody was helping me, nobody was listening to me.
And now, Siobhan, that you've, you know, that you, I suppose you've received, or you've got the diagnosis. How do you control that now, day to day?
So for me, I was also diagnosed with another condition from being bedbound, and it looks like a virus came up and attacked my heart and attacked my autonomic system in the body. So because of that, then I got diagnosed with another condition called POTS syndrome. And because of that, it's not really known. It's knowledgeable in Ireland, but there's nobody expertise in it. So I had to be sent to London. So once I was sent to London, I seen a different level of care I'd never received in Ireland either. Scientists did my testing. I was looked after, there was a pathway to a plan for where I could move forward with my life and start living the way I should.
I got
unbelievable testing done in London and a plan, and they worked with me, and I did a rehabilitation program for 6 months. So I did that, and with Cree, I got counselling, obviously to learn to live with this.
Because that's the big thing, I suppose, is being able to kind of pick up from where you were, Siobhan, and continue on and I suppose get to grips with it. Dr. Angie Brown is on the line, Siobhan, as well. Angie's a medical director with the Irish Heart Foundation, but a consultant cardiologist as well. Why is it that this is such a big issue for women, Angie?
Hi. That story that Siobhan was saying is very depressing, really, and very dramatic. And I suppose in the Irish Heart Foundation, that's why we've been doing Her Heart Matters campaign, because a lot of women don't realise that heart disease is so prevalent in women, and that one in four women will die of heart disease or stroke. I think most women think they're more likely to die of breast cancer, but that's not the case. And secondly, I think women feel that it's a man's disease, but this is also the perception in the general population. Most people think that cardiovascular disease is a man's disease, and it's definitely not the case. And particularly in younger women, this can lead to misdiagnosis, as unfortunately in Siobhan's case. And that's partly because the etiology or the cause of heart problems in particularly younger women can be very different. So they are, for instance, more likely to present with a heart attack, but in the absence of a blocked artery. So it's due to different things. For instance, you might get clot, or you might have an ulcerated plaque, or you could have a thing called SCAD, which is dissection of the coronary artery. So different causes in younger women. So they may also present differently. And then, of course, after the menopause, the loss of estrogen means that women's risk of developing atherosclerotic heart disease, so blocking up of the arteries, that catches up to men. And then the risk for women then is the same as men. So actually, we have the same risk as men, but the presentation is much more difficult and can be vaguer in women. And so women tend to present later to the emergency department. And when they go to the emergency departments, there's a lack of awareness in the staff there. So they're not triaged and treated in the same way.
For people listening that maybe, you know, listening to Siobhan's story today, Angie, and it perhaps resonates with them, what should people do if they feel like Siobhan, that they're maybe just not being pointed, you know, not been sent in the right direction, or maybe just even not being believed?
So I think there's a few things to do. We need to continue to raise awareness, and that's what we're trying to do in the Heart Foundation. So for people to know, as Siobhan, I mean, she kept trying to present. So a lot of women don't present. So it's important to go and see a health professional, or if you think you're having a heart attack or a stroke, you call an ambulance and you go directly, because they are emergencies that need treating. And if you're not being seen, then you need to contact. We have a nurse support line, for instance, in the Heart Foundation, but you need to really contact your GP, and you need to have people advocating for you to try and pursue a diagnosis if you feel you're not being listened to. Because I think that in Siobhan's case, it's quite a specific thing. But we're talking more generally about people who are delaying in presenting to hospital with heart attack.
Yeah, and actually and so knowing the signs and symptoms to present.
Signs and symptoms, yeah. You know, and in fact, don't realise what the signs and symptoms are.
Well, no, it's well we're pointing that out today, Angie, and thank you, Siobhan, for getting in touch with us and sharing your story and your experience you know, on the programme today. It's not an easy thing to do, and by all accounts you've had an incredibly difficult time, so I do appreciate your time on the show. That's Siobhan Cunningham in Galway and Dr. Angie Brown, who's a consultant cardiologist and medical director with the Irish Heart Foundation.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip hop could be hop hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.